Or it could be interpreted as a prohibition about selling things in the church. Now, as I told the children, we sell things here in the church. We raise money. But as far as I know, all the money that is raised here for these things that are, we sell coffee, we sell cookbooks, we sell baked goods, those funds are used in ministry. Those funds are used to support programs like Nothing But Nets and food pantries and whatnot. So in essence, it's doing God's work. But sometimes, in some churches, it gets out of hand. And that's what Jesus was talking about. Jesus' message for us today is for us to look hard at our church as well as our personal lives to see if we are truly being faithful to God's purposes and to God's will. I think that's what the message is here, is for us to take a look at our lives and to look and evaluate what we're doing here at Bethel Church. Are we being faithful to God? I sent out an e-question, and by the way, if you're not getting my email blasts each week and the messages that we send out from the church, please call the church office, get on our email list. But the question this week was this. Now, this is regarding the church. The church. Now, we're talking about the church in general and also this church. If Jesus were to come here to Bethel this Sunday, this morning, what would he see that he'd want to throw out in order to accomplish his purposes through us? If Jesus were to show up this morning in the flesh, like he did in the temple that day, what would he see that would need casting out? I sent out that email question, and guess how many responses I got? 3. Out of 250 emails, 3 people responded. 2 of them spoke on the same topic, which I'll share with you in a minute. One wrote, "I think Jesus would throw out Christian opinions that we can't change the way we worship, study, or relate to one another, or interpret God's word to suit our purposes. For instance, he might throw out some of the ways our committees function, how buildings are used, how we seem to think we must judge one another and our fellow Christians. He might ask us to mentally consider how we would feed, educate, clothe, and mentor those in need. Do we really need all the committees that we have?" I'm with you there, brother. "Do we have them because we've always had them and that's all the way we've always done things? If we were a business, should we downsize some things or resize some things in terms of number of groups and committees, members of committees? We need to be doing God's work and not the church's work." Then there were 2 responses that dealt with something that deeply, deeply grieves my heart when I hear this. And I've heard it in every church that I've served, and every pastor hears it in every church that they serve. This member wrote about a couple who came to church and was asked to move from where they were seated because they were sitting in someone else's pew or seat. Sat next to a couple who was attending for their second time, just the second time of visiting that church, and they explained that they had to move the week prior. They actually came back. Can you believe it? I wouldn't have. I'll be honest with you. Members who always sat there, in quotation marks, asked this couple to move as they were sitting in their seats. I'm sure God was not happy with them, and it made me really sad for our church members who did this and did not see the damage they could have done. I just thought that was awful, and it is not hospitable. Just the opposite. Fortunately for us, the couple thought enough about other aspects of the service that they came back again. This gentleman wrote, "If Jesus came to Bethel, he better be careful where he sat." You got to know this guy. He is funny. "I've seen it happen time and time again where first-timers are told they're sitting in someone else's pew. It happened to us 20 years ago when this little boy shouted at me." Now, this is a little boy shouting at an old man. "Get out of his seat." Yes. Here at Bethel. The self-appointed usher at the back of the church entrance informed the couple that they were sitting in someone else's place. The couple was truly embarrassed and took a seat close to us. I leaned over to him and said, "Don't take it to heart. It happened to us 20 years ago, and we're still here." That reminded me of an email that circulated several years ago, and I was able to find it on the internet, that relates to this very issue. One day, a man went to visit a church. He arrived early, parked his car, and got out. Another car pulled up near him, and the driver told him, "Hey, I always park there. You took my place." The visitor went inside for Sunday school, found an empty seat, and sat down. A young lady from the church approached him and stated, "That's my seat. You took my place." The visitor was somewhat distressed by this rude welcome, but said nothing. After Sunday school, the visitor went into the church sanctuary and sat down. Another member walked up to him and said, "That's where I always sit. You took my place." The visitor was even more troubled by this treatment, but said nothing. Later, as the congregation was praying for Christ to dwell among them, the visitor stood. His appearance began to change. Horrible scars began to appear in his hands and on his feet. Someone from the congregation noticed him and called out, "What happened to you?" And the visitor replied, "I took your place. I took your place on the cross." What if Jesus were to visit our church today? What would he find? Would Jesus find a healthy church? Would Jesus find a church that he would be pleased with? Would Jesus be pleased with a church that had more people and bigger buildings and big budgets and more money and more programs? Would he find a church that was growing an institution at the expense of making disciples one person at a time? Would Jesus be pleased that we put too much emphasis on maintenance and not enough on missions and outreach? Would he be pleased with these things? Not too long ago, last fall, we pastors and churches were notified that the bishops of the United Methodist Church had put out a call to action. This call to action was as a result of the fact that many, many, many churches are dying in the United Methodist Connection. Many churches are on life support. Many churches are living off endowments and bequests and money from another generation. The bishops have put out a call to action for churches to examine what they are doing to the glory of God. How are they doing church? They've asked us to set goals for the next 5 years in five different areas. I've put up a chart. Vital Congregations is an invitation from the United Methodist Church to make disciples for Christ, as you know, is our mission statement. The mission is achieved through vital congregations that equip and empower people to be disciples of Christ in their homes, communities around the world. Vital Congregations is a response to the bishop's call to action for us to emphasize five areas of health. And if we could, okay, it's in these five areas. Inviting and inspiring. Yes, that's good. That's the one I'm looking for. The five areas are average worship attendance, professions of faith, number of small groups, people engaged in missions, amount given to missions. These are the goals that our dream team came up with. These are the goals that we're going to try to achieve over the next 5 years, 4 to 5 years. Back up to the previous slide. Churches that Jesus, I think, would be pleased with are churches that are inviting and have inspiring worship. That's what Come Alive Time is aimed to do. That's what traditional worship, although traditional, it can still be inspiring. Hospitality, making people move from their seat, from a seat they've chosen, is not hospitality. That's anti-hospitality, if you ask me. Has that ever happened to anybody here? Okay, you know from what I speak. Yes. Vital, healthy congregations engage disciples Notice I said disciples, not church members, in missions and outreach. Vital, healthy churches that Jesus would be pleased with have gifted, empowered, and equipped lay leaders and clergy. Vital, healthy congregations have small group ministries, small groups studying the Bible, meeting regularly for accountability and to study God's Word and fellowship, and a strong children and youth ministry. All of these are the vital signs of a healthy church. Now, I'm blessed and pleased to say that we're doing well in some of these areas, not in all of them, and we have a lot of work to do. We're not on life support. We pay our apportionments. We try to meet our budget every year, and you all have been faithful in doing that. Praise God for that. And I believe God is blessing us and continue to bless us, but there are other churches not far from this one that are struggling because they've taken their eye off the prize. They've taken their eye and concentrated more on survival than reaching out to the poor or sending people into the mission field. You saw our goals for the next 4 or 5 years. By God's grace, we'll try to meet those goals. By God's grace, we'll have larger worship attendance. We'll have more money given to missions. We'll have more small groups. We'll have more lay leaders and people engaged in missions and ministry. And if we apply this to our individual lives, I know I'm running long here, we could also apply this same principle to our lives. What would Jesus need to clean out of our hearts? What attitudes? What pride? What lust? What jealousy? What anger? Addiction needs to be cleaned out, flushed out of our hearts in order for Jesus to occupy Fred, to occupy Dean, to occupy Sean, to occupy Paulette. What needs to be cleansed within us so that Jesus can truly live there? That's the challenge we have during this season of Lent. And that's the challenge to all of us. What would Jesus find if he came here today? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the challenge. We thank you for your love, Lord, from which this comes. And we pray, Father, that you'll continue to bless us and help us to strive to be a vital congregation and continue to bless others as you have blessed us. All this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.